Praise God. Turn with me to the book of Luke, the fifth chapter, Luke chapter 5. This is a passage of scripture that, a book that I will never forget because I had a wonderful experience with this chapter many, many years ago. I was in the city of Medicine Hat, Alberta. I was there for a conference, and sometime around 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Wake up, I want to teach you something on leadership." And so I woke up and I said, "Go and read Luke chapter 5. So I opened the book and I began reading Luke chapter 5. I read from the beginning to the end, and I saw nothing in it that had anything to do with leadership at all. I said, "There's nothing in this passage of scripture that has anything to do with leadership." The Lord says, "Read it again." So I read it the second time and still did not see anything to do with leadership. I said, "Lord, there's nothing leadership on this passage of scripture." He says, "Read it again." So I read it the third time. I read it the third time and I still did not see it. I was clueless. So I said, "Lord, I don't see what you're seeing here. What is it? Teach me." And I started reading it that fourth time. Everything in the chapter was about leadership. Everything. Every word. I said, "My God, I've been reading this and nothing, like, I didn't see anything in here that had anything to do with leadership." That's when it really dawned on me that you can have eyes and don't see. Today, though, I'm not going to be talking about leadership. So that Judy looks up to the sky. She says, "Wait a minute, you just set me up again." Yeah, don't worry. You get enough information in here. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God." As it pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And in fact, the first principle that everyone who is part of any kind of leadership should know is this, that they have to press on to hear the word of God. That the word of God must have premium. Positioning in your life. Depressed to hear the word of God. "He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." Just for Sister Judith's case sake, I will say this. A leader understands his environment. You see what other people are not paying attention onto. He saw what was around him and he noticed two ships. Now, there were many other ships in that place, but he noticed two ships. Why does he notice these two ships? Because those ships were going to carry the blessing in just a moment. They did not know it, but the blessing and overcoming, overabundant, boat sinking, ship sinking blessing was about to strike those two ships. So does every leader know, by spiritual discernment, the people that are around them. It's important. Because there are three kinds of people that will always be around you. And you've heard me talk about this before. Three kinds of people. First kind of people that will be around you, and there's very few of them, are what you might call your confidants. Your confidants are those people that you can share your heart with. These are people that will hang around you. They'll follow you through thick and thin. They will be there. You may call them your root people. They are the people that are very stable in your life. Then there's the second kind of people that you might call your constituents. Your constituents are what I call your branch people. These are the people that you can share certain things with, but they do not necessarily believe in you. They believe the same things that you believe in. But they are not so sold out that they believe in you like the root people, which are your confidants. Your confidants do not just believe you. They believe what you believe. And even if what you believe in changes, they still believe in you. When you fall, they still believe in you. When you are struggling, they still believe in you. They continue with you through thick and thin. They are there. That's your root people. Your constituents are the same, just like what you have when we talk politics. You know, they'll vote for you. And then when they find somebody else that they think they like better, they will jump ship on you and vote differently. They are not totally sold out because they are not committed to you. They just agree with what you believe in. Then we have a third group that I call the leaf people. These are the people that change with the seasons. One moment they green and then they turn yellow and then they fall off. These are your comrades. Comrades don't necessarily believe in you, and they don't necessarily agree with every belief that you have. They are the people that are against stuff. So comrades are against stuff. So if you're against this, they are against it with you. Are you with me? These are your leaf people. Now, you've got to understand the people around you, because if you share what the most important things in your life with a comrade, he will do nothing with it. If you share it with a constituent, he will carry your vision somewhere else with whoever it is that he or she loves. But your confidant, you can share your heart with. You can tell him your strengths, your weaknesses. He will go to the grave with your secret. But he will help you through every storm, just like the roots hold up the plant. They are there to buttress you. They're there for you. Now, every one of us need a confidant. There are not many of them, but you need them. Now, a constituent you need because they will help you. But you cannot tell them everything. You can just tell them just enough. A comrade, you tell him what you're against, he will stand with you to go against it and get the job done. But be guaranteed, when that job is done, they have gone, adios, bye-bye, amigo, gone. So part of you knowing who you are is understanding your environment and the people around you, what they are about. Are you satisfied a little bit now, sister? Praise the Lord. So it says, he saw two ships and he entered into one of the ships. which was Simon's, and prayed him that he will trust out a little from the land. Trust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Why did he change positions? Because they're pressing against him, and now his voice is not carrying out effectively as it should. So he separated himself. Someone say separated himself. Sometimes you need to separate yourself to be heard. You need to separate yourself to be seen. You need to separate yourself so that whatever it is that's around you is not stealing all the sound and deadening your effectiveness. So he separated himself and he used his environment, the natural setting that will carry his voice. He separated himself and now he began to teach, and his voice is carrying off. But guess what he did not do? Watch this. I'm coming somewhere. He did not stand in that boat. Because standing in that boat is going to make him unstable. He sits down and is not disturbing the waters as much while he speaks. Because you can only do two things, one thing at a time. You cannot be focused on the people and be playing a balancing game. If he was going to stand, he's going to have to balance himself all through and distract himself. You must not distract yourself. You must not distract yourself. When you know what your vision is, don't distract yourself. He sat down. That's a restful state. And he speaks. You say, but if he stood up, they will see him more. It was not about him being seen that he was interested in. It was about him being heard. You must determine what your real purpose is. What works in one situation may not necessarily work in another situation. That's why you need to understand your environment and your situation. And work with what you've got. Jesus saw a boat. He picked one of the two and began to teach from that one. Began to teach them. And then the Bible says, now when he had left speaking, he knew when to stop speaking. He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He says to Simon, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. And let down your nets for a drought. Something is about to change. And this is what you and I need to understand. If you give God and you allow God to use your vessel, you will not be left unattended to. Whatever it is that you are looking for, when you lend God your vessel, he will provide abundantly. This is a principle that every one of us as believers need to learn. What is it that you're looking for? Well, we're going to find out that this man had been fishing all night and caught nothing. And now the Lord says, I want you to launch out into the deep. first time, just take me out a little bit so I can speak to the people. But now that you really want to experience my reward, I want you to go deep. This time together has been captioned as deeper life. And God is calling every one of us to go deeper. You know, go deeper. And I want you to cast your nets. Well, wait a minute. This is not convenient. The man had been fishing all night, caught nothing, and he's busy washing his nets. And now Jesus calls him and he drags whatever it is that he's doing and puts it inside that boat. And this is something that you and I need to understand when we want to experience the miraculous of God. That whatever God asks you for, whatever it is that he's asking you for, is not going to come to you in a very convenient setting. It's going to stretch you. It's going to stretch you. It's going to take you somewhere that you don't want to go. And here's Peter washing his nets, and the Lord says to him, come, I want to use your boat. Actually, he doesn't even ask him. He goes into the boat first. And you know, he forced Peter's hand. What is this guy doing in my boat? Why is he in my boat? And he comes closer and the Lord says, I want you to move this then. Huh? He drags his nets, puts them in there. The Lord finishes speaking, says, launch out into the deep. He launches out into the deep. The Lord says, cast your nets. Somebody say nets. Say it again, nets. Is that singular or plural? Plural. So there's got to, if it's plural, that's got to be more than one. Yeah? The Lord says, let down your nets for a drought. You won't have a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We've toiled all night, we caught nothing. But when Jesus is in your boat, and when Jesus has used your vessel, the equation changes completely. So Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the what? The net. Is that plural or singular? Okay, I'm going to obey you, but I'm going to obey you partially. So he cast the net. And says, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. The net breaks. What is the difference? The difference is the difference of obedience. The Lord purposely asked him to cast out two nets, three nets, whatever amount of nets, so that the net that he was casting out doesn't break. Because God is well able to organize how much comes into every net. God knows exactly how much blessing he has on his mind for you. He knows exactly what he wants to do in your life. So if you're going to give him a little cup, he's still going to give you whatever it is he wants to give to you. But you're going to have a lot of spillage and a lot of disaster, a lot of other things happening because you did not give him room to do what he wants done. Does God have a will for your life today? Absolutely. Does he have a will for my life? Absolutely. Am I giving him what he should work with? Because partial obedience ends up being costly. And if we're going to have a deeper life in our relationship with God, we've got to learn this lesson, that whatever it is God needs and whatever God asks of us, that we need to give him exactly that. God, this is what you want. Here it is. You want my life? Here it is. God's not asking for part of you. He's asking for all of you. He's asking me for all of me. Hallelujah. How did this miracle happen? Well, we can guess all we want. But the same God who turned water into wine was doing the same thing here. Say, how do you know? I know this because the Bible tells us that when fishes were first created, they came out of water. He turned water and made it fish. And that day, when they cast that net into the water, the wet net became fish. God turned the water molecules and made it fish. And I want to say to you today, it wasn't because new fish came out and fish came from everywhere and rushed into that net, because there was no fish. God took what was available to him to create what Peter needed. Hallelujah. But this is the wonderful miracle of it all. The issue is not about the fish. It wasn't about the fish after all. So what do you mean it wasn't about the fish? Well, because the man, Peter, left the fish and followed the one who said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm turning your life around. I'm establishing your true destiny today. Today, I believe that God is about to touch somebody here. And God is about to turn your life around. You thought this was the way, but God had another agenda on his mind. He's already spotted you and your two ships. What was the second ship? It was the ship of John and James, the sons of Zebedee. Those were going to be part of the team. He'd already spotted them. He spotted them because these guys were confident. Peter, James, and John were the real deal. The Bible calls them koinonia partners. Because in Luke chapter 5, the word partners is used twice. The first time it's used is the word metokos. And metokos is a partner, but it's a partner that's into it for what he can get. Whatever it is I can get out of this deal, that's why I'm here. If there's nothing to get, I'm not part of it. Well, as long as I can get something, what is it in it for me? That's a metokos. But Peter, James, and John had a koinonia relationship. They were sold out to each other. That's why you cannot separate them. Everywhere Jesus went, he went with Peter, James, and John. When he was going to the Mount of Transfiguration, he took Peter, James, and John. Everywhere he went, Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Because these guys were sold out to each other. So when Jesus called Peter and says, follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men, James and John says, "Huh? You calling him? We're coming." Jesus did not even say, James, John, come. No, he says, Peter, come. And James and John followed him. You're not going to separate us. You're not separating us. He's living his fish, we're living ours. And we're going together. It's not about what we came here to do. It's about what God wants done. I just heard that you are about to take this man, this friend of mine, and do something extraordinary with his life. I'm in it. You're not separating me from this. I'm in this. I'm following through with this. And Jesus did not turn them away. Go figure. He didn't say, wait a minute. You guys, I don't need you here. Just Peter. Ask yourself this question. Peter, James, and John. Yeah? The Bible says, in a hidden sense, it says about John that he was a disciple that Jesus loved. Why didn't he call John and say, John, come follow me? Why didn't he take John's boat and say, I'm in John's boat? No. Because, are you ready for this? The person's boat that he took, his name is what? Simon. Do you know what Simon means? The rock. It's the same meaning like Peter. The rock. Why is he picking the rock? Because he sees way ahead that there's going to be a day when there's going to be a revelation. When Jesus is going to ask, who do men say that I am? They say that you're Elijah. They say that you are this, you're that, and one of the prophets. But who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. I am calling your name Peter. Same name. Same name. Same meaning. Why? Because God has a name for you. I remember many years ago, you know, a good number of people will know me as Zeno Edukore. That's how most people will know my name. Even though when I got baptized, I was Michael. And many years ago, my children came to me and said, we want to answer your name. We want your name changed. Why? Well, people don't know how to pronounce this other name, but it's easy for them to pronounce Zero. So, okay. But I'm not changing my name. We are here in Canada. And, you know, someday somebody's going to want to track the history of this family. And you know, they need to know what the connections are and how it gets to Nigeria and so on and so forth. There's no Ifezino over there. The Ifezino is over here. So for many years, I won't change the name until one day. And I'm not going to tell you what the meaning of Edukore means. That's a different story. I'm not going to tell that because my family might be listening to this video and they say, you told them that what the meaning of that name is? No. So, one day the Lord says to me, change the name. Change the name already. What are you waiting for? Did I change it right away? No, it took me a long time. That's like God saying, cast your net. I wasn't doing it. But what I can tell you is, my father had changed my name many years ago. One day he just called me Mike Zeno. Mike Zeno. No Edukore? Mike Zeno? The precedent had been set. I'm going to tell you something in a moment. Mike Zeno. Michael. The warring angel of God. When I took that name, I declared, I am going to be that warrior that takes down the kingdom of darkness. God, you're going to use my life. And I was baptized with that name, Michael. If Zeno meant, wealth has come. That's what that name means. Like I said, I'm not going to tell you what Edukore means. Wealth has come. So God supernaturally used my father to call me those two things together. I did not come to that name, Mike Zeno, by my own senses. My father pronounced it over me. So I changed it. I changed it. But it was because God had already started something. Now, my father answered Edukore, but that was his father's name, not his grandfather's name. Because what the whole story is that you answer the family name, and the family name is whatever your grand, and continues. You know, just like you start with a Smith and you continue through history as Smiths, right? Are you with me? My grandfather's name was Ashaka. I don't know what that name means. And my grandfather's name was Edukore. When my father grew up, he took his father's name, Edukore. His junior brother kept the grandfather's name. So we had an Edukore and an Ashaka. Are you with me? A pattern. A pattern started. It started from my father's time, my grandfather answering his name, Edukore, and not Ashaka, and my father answering his father's name, Edukore, and now my children are answering my name. So I kept my Edukore in the center, but I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. Enough of that. But this is the deal. So I tell you all of that. God knows your name. You think your name is just whatever. Your name is not just whatever. There's a reason why you have the name that you have. Do you know why? Because every time that name is pronounced, your identity is being pronounced and declared and decreed. That's why you don't want a foolish name. If you have a name that is a bad name, dump that name. Because every time that name is pronounced, that name is running your life. What is your name? God changed names. Abram. Abraham. Are you with me? You need to go deeper into what God has for you and for your family and ask God to bring about the change that must happen in your life. God, what is it that you have? What is it that you know about me? What I know about you is that you're Peter. God has revealed my true identity to you. Yeshua, he is going to save his people from their sins. Emmanuel, God with us. Are you with me? Every time you call him Emmanuel, you're saying, God is in our midst. Every time you call him Jesus, you're saying, the Savior is here. God has an assignment for your life. And your destiny must come to pass. Your true purpose, your true identity must come to pass. And every agenda of the enemy to thwart God's divine purpose for your life must come to naught in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Names are important. Having said all of that, let me say this. God calls you by your real name. I was ministering one day, not too long ago, here. And I touched a little child. And the Lord called that child by his real name. The name that God called him. So I called this child by his real name. And when I called him by his real name, this child that's normally shy, doesn't look at me, turns around and he eyeballs me. Somebody knows my name. And he won't take his eyes off of me throughout that service. Somebody knows who I am. So I asked the mom later on, I said, did you hear the name of this child? She said, yes. He said, you know what? God gave me a scripture about this. And this is what it said when this child was born. And guess what? Whatever it was that his name was in the scripture. Now, why do I say that? It doesn't matter what the enemy is trying to call you. God has something he's calling you. And what God calls you will supersede whatever it is that the devil is calling you. In the name of Jesus. Amen? So don't go out freaking out from here and say, oh my God, I've been answering a bad name. That's why my whole life is messed up. Yeah, if you agree with it. But today, agree with whatever it is God is calling you. There was a man called Jabez, meaning sorrow. But the man says, bless me indeed. Enlarge my borders. Turn my life around so that your blessings overflow my life. And God heard him and blessed him. And it didn't matter because now his name and what he really was were no longer the same. He was such a blessing. Even though his name said, no, you should be a sad, sorrowful person. Now he's totally blessed because God stepped in. And what you and I need tonight is God stepping in for every one of us. You're not here by accident. Today I'm going to lay my hands on you. And by the authority of the Word of God, something is going to be activated inside of you that's going to propel you into the destiny that God has for you. And your circumstance is in no way telling the whole story of your life. God has something greater, something better, something extraordinary for you. And he's been calling you by that for the longest time. They were calling him Simon, 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 by Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah. Simon, Jonah, Simon, Jonah, Simon, Jonah, Simon, Jonah. And Jesus says, no, Simon, Peter, stone, rock, rock, you are a rock. You're a rock. I'm going to build my church on this rock, the rock of Revelation. I know you. I know you. I know you. God knows 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 every one of us here. And his kingdom has come, and his will be done even now, here on the earth, as it is in heaven. May the name God has for you be the name that propels you into the destiny God has for you. May God call your name. Amen? I said, may God do what? Call your name. I'll say it a third time. May the good Lord call your name. I'm going to pray and release those that are listening online at this time, because I don't want you to be tied to what we are going to be doing here and just listening and watching and stuff like that. So I'm going to speak the blessing of the Lord to you. I want you to do something right now. I want you to lay your hands on your head. I am going to take this oil. I'm going to stretch it towards you. And even though you are out there and I'm here, God knows no distance. He's bridging the distance between us now. When I stretch my hands towards you, you can touch that screen. And it will be like you and I and God making contact. And as we touch hands, it will be a sign of agreement. And God is going to do for you right now what only He can do supernaturally. For tonight I say to you, you may have fished all night, all year long, for decades, and received not the result that you really want. And God is asking you today to go deeper. Because in the deeper place, contrary to natural laws, God wants to do something new, something fresh. So stretch your hands right now. I declare over you in the name of Jesus Christ that the glory of God will bring about a supernatural turnaround. That God will shower you with everything you've been looking for. but greater yet, that you go beyond the stuff you've been looking for to looking and following the true author and finish of your faith, the God who turns your life around and brings to reality your true destiny and your true purpose in life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I call you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Let the fire of God touch you now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. We are going to honor God with our giving here, and I encourage you to do the same thing at your end, even though we are going to go off in just a moment. Participate as the Holy Spirit leads you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night. Love you. Now, see you tomorrow, and of course, also on Sunday. Tomorrow.